here's part two of the horror talk of the notorious of the murder of the notorious B.I.G. There's also witnesses videos, which is, well, yeah.
Early this morning in Los Angeles, the 24-year-old rapper, whose real name is Christopher Wallace, lived in Raleigh in the 1980s.
FBI agents are looking for a man they say could be both communities are mourning the death of the rapper known as Notorious B.I.G. Good evening, everyone. I'm Linda Laverne. Miriam is off tonight.
He was only 24 years old, was just starting what was expected to be a promising career in music. But tonight, it's only what could have been. Los Angeles police are investigating the shooting death of rapper Notorious B.I.G., also known as Biggie Smalls. He was gunned down early today. The rap star, whose real name is Christopher Wallace, had just left the Soul Train Awards party and was sitting in his car when a vehicle drove by and someone opened fire.
He was going to his car, and we heard the shots ring, and everyone started running, but at the time we didn't know that it was a shot.
Wallace was pronounced dead after being rushed to a nearby hospital. So far, police say they have no suspects.
Well, Biggie Smalls' legacy will be one of what might have been. His promising music career started right here on the streets of New York.
It's gonna be a lot of slow singing, the flower bringing.
Notorious B.I.G. built his gangster rap image on his own background, using his past as an ex-crack dealer from Brooklyn's Bedford-Stuyvesant neighborhood. His first album, ironically titled Ready to Die, sold more than a million copies. He was chosen Rap Artist of the Year in 1995, but his life also included trouble with the law. In March, he was arrested for allegedly beating fans outside an East Village nightclub. In July, he was charged with weapons and marijuana possession. Yet his records meant a lot to his fans. Residents of his home neighborhood of Bedford-Stuyvesant remembered his work today.
I liked his music because he never, like, lied about his lyrics. He always came, you know, spoke from his heart. You know, he just kept it real. He represented the real world. The stuff he talked about, it happened in the real world, you know. Maybe not as much as he said it, but it really happened, you know.
Wallace's climb to fame led to a rivalry with rapper Tupac Shakur, who was also gunned down 6 months ago. Los Angeles police are investigating rumors that a feud between East Coast and West Coast rappers led to the two shootings. But one of Wallace's friends says the rivalry was more in their music, not something that could escalate to violence.
I would say it was beginning to escalate over the last couple of years into a more personal rivalry, but in a larger sense, historically, I would say it was more of an aesthetic rivalry that was, dealt with more on record as far as the songs.
Notorious B.I.G.'s second album is due in stores on March 25th. It's titled Life After Death, Till Death Do Us Part.
In other news, in Queens tonight, thousands...
...that their warnings about Phillips and Matasarenu went unheeded. And that the arsenal of weapons they carried into the bank was so easy to get.
There are over 220.
Before February's bank heist, they were very busy trying to get that money. Their crime line zigzags back and forth between Denver and L.A. The FBI suspects that Phillips and Matasarenu were responsible for as many as 3 Brinks truck robberies. That in 95, they murdered a guard and made...
One second, almost done. Okay. So now the investigation. Immediately following the shooting, reports surfaced linking Wallace's murder with that of Shakur's 6 months earlier due to similarities in the drive-by shootings and the highly publicized East Coast-West Coast hip-hop feud, of which Shakur and Wallace had been central figures. Media reports had previously speculated that Wallace was in some way connected to Shakur's murder, though no evidence ever surfaced to seriously implicate him. Shortly after Wallace's death, Los Angeles Times writers Chuck Phillips and Matt Lee reported that the key suspect in his murder was a member of the South Side Crips acting out of a personal financial motive rather than on the gang's behalf. The investigation stalled, however, and no one was ever formally charged. In a 2002 book by Randall Sullivan called Labyrinth, information was compiled about the murders of Wallace and Shakur based on information provided by retired LAPD detective Russell Poole. In the book, Sullivan accused Marion Shug Knight, co-founder of Death Row Records and a known Bloods affiliate, of conspiring with corrupt Los Angeles Police Department officer David Mack to kill Wallace and make both deaths appear to be the result of the rap rivalry. The book stated that one of Mack's alleged associates Amir Mohammed was a hitman who killed Wallace. The theory was based on evidence provided by an informant named Psycho Mike and the general resemblance of Mohammed to the facial composite generated during the investigation. Now, I know I saw a video, I think it was, 1 second. Shoot. Is it this one or? Wait, maybe. Because I saw it before, man, dang it. Russell Poole. Yeah, who killed Biggie? One LAPD detective theory.
Yo, what's going on? It's your boy DJ 32, and I'm back with another rap conspiracy. Many believe that the deaths of Tupac and Biggie are linked, and that Biggie's murder was a retaliation from the Tupac murder due to the whole East Coast, West Coast beef. But there's another theory as well. Detective Russell Poole was the main investigator attempting to solve the murder of Biggie. And after 1 year of investigation, he pushed out a theory that Suge Knight, along with the LAPD, was behind everything. He also said that Suge Knight was not only responsible for Biggie's murder, but Tupac's as well. Listen to what Poole says in the footage from the 2002 documentary, Biggie and Tupac.
And do you think that there was a connection between the Tupac Shakur killing and the Biggie Smalls killing?
Well, that's basically what it appears to be, a retaliation, okay? And I think Suge Knight wanted it to look that way, okay? But, you know, had we been able to aggressively investigate and had the heart to connect the two and do a thorough investigation, I think we probably would have found out more information.
And why didn't you?
Well, you know, there's a lot of factors, but I think the fact that law enforcement officers were working for death row, and that was a scandal in itself, okay?
So who believes Suge Knight set up the shooting of Tupac to look like gang violence in order to not have to pay millions in royalties to the rapper? Then with the help of the LAPD, he also set up Biggie's shooting to appear like a retaliation against Tupac's murder.
It was no secret that Death Row Records was involved in drug trafficking.
Between 30 and 40 police officers, some of whom are seen here, worked off duty for Death Row. Suge Knight had a lot of power, even within the DA's office.
Now, back in 2005, a key witness in the civil suit against the LAPD, filed by the family of Biggie, stated that the LAPD was involved in the shooting. Later in 2007, that witness, Wayman Anderson, recanted his testimony, causing the case against the LAPD to fall apart. About the same time that the civil suit was dismissed, Poole left the LAPD after he had a number of issues with handling of homicides by the police force. But the story gets a little bit stranger. Flash forward to 2015. On August 19th, Poole was meeting with the LA County Sheriff's Department about a cold case, but then collapsed, reportedly suffering from a heart attack. He was rushed to the hospital where he died on site. What exactly was the cold case that he was presenting to the sheriff's office? Was it about Biggie? Did he have any new evidence to bring to light? Let us know what you think and make sure y'all comment below. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel. I'm DJ 32 for Power 106, and this has been another Rap Conspiracy.
And now another one who shot Biggie Smalls. Retired LAPD detective reveals what he knows.
One of the biggest celebrity crimes is the murder of rap legend Biggie Smalls, a.k.a. Notorious B.I.G., still unsolved 24 years later.
Gina Silva has more on this story from our Fox 11 True Crime Files.
Remember rapping Duke? The ha, you never thought that hip-hop would take it this far.
Christopher Wallace,
also known as
Biggie, 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 can't you see?
Biggie Smalls, notorious B.I.G., one of the greatest rappers of all time, was suddenly gone on March 9th, 1997, ambushed in the streets of Los Angeles during a visit. This is video from our Fox 11 True Crime Files.
The other vehicle pulls up alongside, and the driver shoots numerous times into the vehicle.
A victim of a drive-by shooting outside of the Peterson Automotive Museum on Fairfax and Wilshire. Biggie was shot multiple times while sitting in the front passenger side of this SUV. There were plenty of witnesses, but no one could give an accurate description of the shooter.
When somebody's shooting at you, your first reaction is not to get a description of them, but to take cover, duck.
Biggie was killed 6 months after Tupac Shakur died in a hail of bullets in Las Vegas. Two larger-than-life hip-hop artists, Biggie from the East Coast with Bad Boy Records led by Sean Combs, and Tupac from the West Coast with Death Row Records founded by Marion Shook Knight.
I was assigned to Biggie's case as a result of a reinvestigative effort by the LAPD.
Greg Kading is a retired LAPD detective. He was assigned in 2006 to the Biggie case after several leads had gone cold, including a lawsuit against the LAPD, alleging that crooked cops David Mack and Rafael Perez were involved in the murder and cover-up. That lawsuit was later dropped.
It's been so many years. Why hasn't this case been solved?
Well, if you were to ask me, I would say it is solved. I would say that it's solved, but I'm prosecuted. So this is one of the murder books.
After years of investigating this case, Kading says he can finally prove what many of Biggie's fans suspected. Their beloved, notorious B.I.G. was murdered in retaliation to the killing of Tupac. Kading alleges the hit was ordered from inside county jail.
The time that Biggie Smalls was killed, Suge Knight was in the county jail. So in order for him to communicate with somebody on the street, he had to go through an intermediary, which was this female who was visiting him in jail.
On May 28th, 2009, the LAPD and the FBI documented that woman's statement. Her identity is being protected. Kading says the woman worked out an agreement that nothing would be used against her.
But while she's telling us, you know, she's got tears in her eyes, she's clearly frightened.
Kading says the woman would visit Knight pretending to be a legal assistant.
That allows her to go in, sit down with Suge, and have unmonitored visits. Deputies can't overlisten on the phone. They can't stand there and overhear the conversation. So that's how it was set up, so that she could have confidential conversations.
This LAPD statement says, quote, during more than one of these visits, Knight instructed Blank to help him coordinate the murder of Christopher Wallace.
She said that Suge told her, I want you to get a hold of Poochie, figure out what type of money it's going to cost, and tell him that this is what I want done. So she then, there's a series of meetings. She goes and meets with Poochie. They agree on an amount. Suge makes the arrangement for that money to get transferred. She pays Poochie, and he goes and sets himself up at the Peterson Auto Museum and shoots and kills Biggie.
Poochie can be seen in this photograph with several friends, including Knight. His real name, Wardell Fowles, also known as Darnell Bolton.
So we knew that he was somebody who was dangerous, somebody capable of doing these things, but we didn't know it was him until the other co-conspirator confesses.
And by that time, it was too late. Fowles had been dead for years, killed in an unrelated gang shooting. No charges have ever been filed against Suge Knight in this case. Kading says he's extremely disappointed the LAPD hasn't officially closed this case.
I certainly think it is a closed case, and they ought to satisfy history by saying this is the facts and this is why we can't prosecute it, but it is solved.
You met with Biggie's mom. How do you feel about her and what she's gone through?
I love Valletta Wallace. I from the very beginning, me and my partner, that was our sole motivation, was to give her the answers that she deserved. I wish we could have given her the ultimate satisfaction.
And
Now, the LAPD declined our request for an interview, and we were told this is still an open case. As for Suge Knight, in 2015, he was sentenced to 28 years in prison for a crime not related to this case. We reached out to him as well for comment on the story. We never heard back. Alex, Marla?
Gina Silva, thank you so much. If you want to know more about the True Crime Files, you can scan the QR code on your screen. You got to use your phone to do that. It will take you to our Fox LA page where you can take a look at LA's True Crime Files. So basically use your camera function on your phone and bring it up to the screen and take a picture of that.
In 2002, filmmaker Nick Broomfield released a documentary, Biggie and Tupac, based on information from the book. The New York Times described Broomfield's documentary as a, quote, largely speculative and circumstantial account relying on filmy evidence, failing to present counter evidence or question sources, end quote. Moreover, the motive suggested for the murderer of Wallace in the documentary to decrease suspicion for the Shakur shooting 6 months earlier was, as the Times put it, quote, unsupported in the film, end quote. An article published in, in Rolling Stone by Sullivan in December 2005 accused the LAPD of not fully investigating leads concerning death row records based on pools of evidence. He claimed that Coombs, quote, failed to fully cooperate with the investigation, end quote. And according to Poole, encouraged Bad Boy staff to do the same. The accuracy of the article was later challenged in a letter by the assistant managing editor of the Los Angeles Times, who accused Sullivan of using, quote, shoddy tactics, end quote. Sullivan, in response, quoted that the lead attorney of the Wallace estate, calling the newspaper, quote, a co-conspirator in the cover-up, end quote. In alluding to Sullivan and Poole's theory that formed the basis of the Wallace family's dismissed $500 million lawsuit against the city of Los Angeles, the New York Times wrote, quote, a cottage industry of criminal speculation that has sprung up around the case with documentaries, books, and a stream of lurid magazine articles implicating gangs, crook cops, and a cross-country rivalry, end quote, noting that everything associated with Wallace's death had been big business. More recently, the film City of Lies was produced based on Poole's investigation and Sullivan's book and cast Johnny Depp as Poole. Really? Oh, okay, that's nice. Yeah, City of Lies, it came out in 2018, but it received mixed reviews from critics, which is, like, not surprising, obviously, but obviously, yeah. Obviously, duh. The Los Angeles Times printed conflicting theories of the murder in different sections of the paper. The Metro section of the Times reported that police suspected a connection between Wallace's death and the Rampart Police corruption scandal consistent with Sullivan and Poole's theory. The Rampart Police corruption scandal, it involved in widespread police corruption in the community resources against street hoodlums. Anti-gang unit of the LAPD's Rampart Division in the late 1990s. More than 70 police officers either assigned to or associated with the Rampart crash unit were initially implicated in various forms of misconduct, including unprovoked shootings, unprovoked beatings, planting of false evidence, stealing and dealing narcotics, bank robbery, perjury, and the covering up of evidence of these activities. Jeez Louise, that's crazy. The Metro section also ran a photo of Muhammad, identified by police as a mortgage broker unconnected to the murder, who appeared to match details of the gunman, printing his name and driver's license. However, Chuck Phillips, a staff writer for the business section of the Times, searched for Muhammad, whom the Metro reporters could not find for comment. It took only 3 days to find Muhammad, who had a current ad for his brokerage business running in the Times. Muhammad, who was not an official suspect at the time, came forward to clear his name. The Metro section of the paper was opposed to running a retraction, but the business desk editor, Mark Saylor, said, quote, Mark is sort of the world's authority on rap violence, end quote, and pushed along with Chuck Phillips for the Times to retract the article. In a correlation article written by Phillips in May 2000, Muhammad was quoted as saying, quote, I'm a mortgage broker, not a murderer, end quote, and asking, quote, how can something so completely false end up on the front page of a major newspaper, end quote. The story cleared Muhammad's name. A later 2005 story by Chuck Phillips alleged that an informant for the Paul Sullivan theory, Psycho Mike, was a schizophrenic with admitted memory lapses who confessed to hearsay. John Cook of Braille's Content noted that Phillips' article demolished the Paul Sullivan theory of Wallace's murder. In the 2000 book, The Murder of Biggie Smalls, investigative journalist and author Kathy Scott suggested that Wallace and Shakur's murders might have been the result of the East Coast-West Coast feud and motivated by financial gain for the record companies because the rappers were worth more dead than alive. What the hell? Really? Dude, okay, I mean... The criminal investigation into Wallace's murder was reopened in July 2006 to look for new evidence to help the city defend the civil lawsuits brought by the Wallace family. Disgraced retired LAPD detective Greg Kading, who worked for 3 years on a gang task force that included the Wallace case, alleged that the rapper was shot by Wardell Pucci Faust. Faust, a mob Puro gang member and an associate of Knight, died on July 24, 2003, after being shot in the back while riding his motorcycle in Compton. Kading believes Knight hired Faust to kill Wallace to avenge the death of Shakur via his girlfriend, Teresa Swan. Kading alleges Shakur was killed under the orders of Combs. In December 2012, the LAPD released autopsy results conducted on Wallace's body to generate new leads. The release was criticized by the longtime lawyer of his estate, Perry Sanders Jr., who objected to an autopsy. The case remains officially unsolved. The lawsuits, wrongful death claim. In April 2002, Wallace's mother, Valletta, filed a wrongful death claim against the city of Los Angeles based on the evidence championed by Poole. Valletta claimed that the LAPD had sufficient evidence to arrest the gunman but failed to use it. Mac and Muhammad, aka Harry Bullips, were originally named as defendants in the civil suit but were dropped shortly before the trial began after the LAPD and FBI dismissed them as suspects. The case came for trial before a jury on June 21st, 2004. On the eve of the trial, a key witness who was expected to testify, Kevin Hackey, revealed that he suffered memory lapses due to psychiatric medications. He had previously testified to knowledge of involvement between Knight, Mac, and Muhammad, but later said that the Wallace attorneys had altered his declarations to include words he never said. Hackey took full blame for filing a false declaration. Several days into the trial, the plaintiff's attorney disclosed to the court and opposing counsel that he had received a telephone call from someone claiming to be an LAPD officer and provided detailed information about the existence of evidence concerning the Wallace murder. The court directed the city to conduct a thorough investigation, which uncovered previously undisclosed evidence, much of which was in the desk or cabinet of Detective Stephen Katz, the lead detective in the Wallace investigation. The documents centered around interviews by numerous police officers of an incarcerated informant who had been a cellmate of imprisoned Rampart officer Rafael Perez for some extended period of time. He reported that Perez had told him about his and Mac's involvement with Death Row Records and their activities at the Peterson Automotive Museum the night of Wallace's murder. As a result of the newly discovered evidence, the judge declared a mistrial and awarded the Wallace family its attorney's fees. On April 16, 2007, 15 years ago, relatives of Wallace filed a second wrongful death lawsuit against the city of Los Angeles. The suit also named two LAPD officers in the center of the investigation into the Rampart scandal, Perez and Nino Durden. According to the claim, Perez, an alleged affiliate of Death Row Records, admitted to LAPD officials that he and Meck, who was not named in the lawsuit, quote, conspired to murder and participated in the murder of Christopher Wallace, end quote. The Wallace family said the LAPD, quote, consciously concealed Rafael Perez's involvement in the murder of Wallace, end quote. United States District Judge Florence Marie Cooper granted summary judgment to the city on December 17, 2007, citing that the Wallace family had not complied with a California law that required the family to give notice of its claim to the state within 6 months of Wallace's death. The Wallace family refiled the suit, dropping the state law claims on May 27, 2008. The suit against the city of Los Angeles was finally dismissed in 2010. It was described by the New York Times as, quote, one of the longest running and most contentious celebrity cases in history, end quote. The Wallace suit had asked for $500 million from the city. Damn. Defamation. On January 19, 2007, Tyrus, or Big Sky Hims, a friend of Shakur, who was implicated in Wallace's murder by the Los Angeles Fox affiliate KTTV and XXL magazine in 2005, had a defamation lawsuit regarding the accusations thrown out of court. That was the end of the horror talk of the murder of the notorious B.I.G. May he rest in peace. My heart goes out to his family still. Who knows who killed Biggie Smalls? I mean, who knows, honestly. So it remains unsolved. And may him and Shakur rest in peace in heaven. I'll see you guys on the movie recap on my main podcast. All right, have a good night. I'll see you guys next week for a new episode of my Horror Talk podcast. Bye.